A couple of years ago, my brother had to have surgery for a detached retina. And then came two more surgeries to correct some scarring and so on. So after all this was finished, he went to see his retinologist, Dr. Osman, who did the surgeries, and Dr. Osman said, "You've made a great recovery." And my brother, an architect, said, "Thank you, doctor, for saving my sight." And Dr. Osman seemed surprised. And then he said, "You know, no one's ever said that to me before. Thank you." A very powerful phrase, a short phrase, but a phrase that isn't used often enough. Think of our gospel passage today. Our dear Lord encounters these 10 lepers. Keep in mind, back in the ancient times, this was the most dreaded disease. There was no cure, as we have today. So when one was diagnosed with leprosy, that person was cast out of society. His home, all his belongings, were burned. If that person, the leper, tried to come back into the town, he would have been stoned to death. If the leper saw a clean person approaching, then he had to cry out, "Unclean, unclean," as a warning. So leprosy was a death sentence, a slow, isolated death sentence, being eaten away from the inside out. So they approach Jesus and say, "Have pity on us." Jesus simply said, "Go show yourselves to the priest," because they would declare these individuals clean and allow their re-entry into society. On the way, they realize, "We've been cleaned." And now, one came back, but only one. One came back, and he fell at the feet of Jesus. A better translation would be, he fell on his face in front of our Lord. That's an act of worship. So this man realized God performed this miracle. This is why Jesus performed miracles, to show he's true God, that he truly has the divine power. This man realized that. And so our Lord says to him, "Your faith has saved you." Yes, this man received a physical cure. More importantly, he received the grace to profess faith in Jesus as the true Lord. And so, my brothers and sisters, we have this great act of gratitude. An interesting point, too, is this man was a Samaritan. For the Jews, he was considered worse than a pagan. And yet, he's the one that stopped to give thanks. As we look at this gospel passage, then, we have to remind ourselves we're called to have a profound attitude of gratitude. God has given us everything. We aren't called to be ingrates, taking things for granted. Rather, everything we have, our very life breath, is a gift from God. And each day, we should be giving thanks for what we have. Give thanks each day for those simple blessings that we have. For instance, when you wake up in the morning, do you say, "Good Lord, it's morning, another day"? Or do you say, "Good morning, Lord, thank you for giving me another day"? When you turn on the water faucet in the bathroom and water comes out, do you ever pause and say, "Thank you, Lord, for the water"? 750 million people on this planet do not have pure water to drink. Or when we go to our refrigerator or the grocery store, do we ever say, "Thank you, Lord, for this abundance of food"? Because in our own county, we have 20,000 people who are declared food at risk. That's why we have a food collection in our parish. And one in five children are food at risk, usually going to bed hungry. Do we pause and give thanks? An ingrate just takes it all for granted. An ingrate expects it. An ingrate will even waste, not caring. Take it further. Do we give thanks for the bigger blessings? For instance, our families. I hope each day you pray and you thank God for your loved ones. And you pray for each one by name. Because when we think of everything else could go, But if we have our loved ones, how blessed we are. We should give thanks for our country, too. We're so blessed to live in America. There are always the ingrates that want to find fault, criticize, be negative, blame, and so on. And sure, there are problems, but we ought to be thankful. Would any of us here want to move to Saudi Arabia or Iran or North Korea or People's Republic of China? I wouldn't. I'm very thankful each day for the gift of this country. Maybe if we were more grateful as a nation, we would work better together instead of pointing fingers, working together to make our country better. Pray also in thanksgiving for the supernatural gifts. We've received the great gift of faith. We ought to thank our Lord each day for that gift of faith. We have Jesus. A couple of years ago, I was watching Murder on the Orient Express. I like Agatha Christie mysteries, and this involves her detective, Hercule Poirot, the Belgian detective, characteristically played by David Suchet, a master actor. There's a profound scene. So he's on the train. He's kneeling down by his bed in his cabin, saying his rosary, and he says, "Thank you, Lord, for giving me life. Thank you for giving me faith. Thank you for making me a Catholic." If for no other reason, watch that movie, because that is very profound. We, as little humble servants of God, ought to kneel down every day and say, "Thank you, Lord, for my life, my faith, my Catholic Church." We are so blessed. We have the Eucharist right here. We have a sacrament whereby we can be forgiven of our sins. And I could go on and on. We're so blessed. Only the ingrate would say, "I can leave this." Only the ingrate would say, "I'm Catholic, but." Only the ingrate would say, "Oh, I don't have time for Mass for this reason or that reason." In gratitude, we give thanks. And so, my brothers and sisters, so many ways to give thanks. But that takes us further. What about when we are afflicted? When we face suffering? When there's the tragedy? The real sacrifice? The failure? Do we ever give thanks for that? Now that's hard. But Mother Teresa said, here we should recognize we're being called to embrace the cross. As hard as it is, and this is what the great saints taught, including Mother Teresa, we need to say, "Thank you, Lord, for allowing me to share in your sufferings and your cross. I know you will be with me, and I know this will lead for good." Now, it's not easy. But if we're ungrateful, we could be angry. We could get into that whole syndrome of, "Why me? Poor me? How could God do this to me?" and so on. Where does that lead? It leads to no good. It leads to pessimism, negativity. But when we unite it with our Lord, even with a sense of gratitude, even though very hard to do, nevertheless, we receive tremendous graces. Now, I can honestly say that looking back at life, when I have faced failures, tragedies, disappointments, sufferings, and so on, I look back and I see those were blessings. Or with Christ, I became stronger. In faith, I became a better person. I became more convicted in being a disciple. And this is how we have to look at life. So we might not always understand the circumstances, but even at Mass, we pray for all the good things that God has given to us. And at times, so mysteriously, that may be a cross. And so, my brothers and sisters, we give thanks. Perhaps you were able to watch some of the country music documentary that PBS had. I recorded it and slowly been working through it. But it was very good because so many of those artists that they interviewed were profoundly thankful for all those who helped them, including the gifts they had received from God. For instance, it spoke of how, or the interviews had Brenda Lee, and also, Loretta Lynn, thanking Patsy Cline, because Patsy Cline gave them good advice, gave them help, gave them encouragement to pursue their careers. Charlie Pride, who is an African-American, who is getting onto the scene, just as we were having all our civil rights turmoil in the 60s, who faced tremendous prejudice, especially in the South, he was helped by Farron Young. And Farron Young helped him break through doors. Farron Young helped him get on shows. And he was so grateful. Charlie Pride was so grateful for that. So they realized they had received so many blessings. But I think of Johnny Cash, and this is one of the most touching parts of the documentary. Johnny Cash is my favorite in country music. But Johnny Cash came from a dirt poor family. Yet, he went to Memphis. He was very grateful that Sam Phillips at Sun Records gave him a chance to record. He always wanted to record gospel music because he knew that God had given him the gift of music. Time goes on, he's a star. But stardom brings its problems. He started drinking, started using amphetamines, became addicted, marital problems, and then about 1965, he was arrested in El Paso, Texas, carrying 1,000 amphetamines. Then a year later, he was in Georgia, arrested for drunkenness, put in jail. When he appeared before the judge the next day, he was released because the judge's wife was a fan of Johnny Cash's. But the judge said to him, and Johnny was not only drunk, he had amphetamines on him. The judge said, "If you want to kill yourself, go ahead. I'm going to give you your God-given right. Take your pills and go." Well, Johnny at that point hit rock bottom, and he only had one place to look up, to God. And so with the help of June Carter, friends, he went into isolation, had a doctor, came off the amphetamines, and then in 1968 he wrote a letter to himself thanking all those who helped him. He thanked God for that gift of sobriety. He thanked June Carter, other friends. He thanked the dear Lord for giving him another opportunity to make life right. Well, with that, after his Folsom Prison album, again, back to stardom, had a TV show, was a great help to those like Kris Kristofferson and Merle Haggard, helping them launch their careers. They professed profound gratitude to Johnny Cash. He always gave talks about and songs about the plight of the poor, those who had been forgotten, those who were struggling with addictions, the American Indians. So much social justice came through his music. He always ended his show with a gospel song, despite the corporate warnings, "Oh, we don't want to do religion on the show," and so on. But he knew he had to thank God. And one night, I remember watching this back in 1969 or 70, that he invited the sheriff who arrested him in Georgia onto the show. And there's this sheriff with like the Southern sheriff outfit and so on, and he publicly thanked that sheriff for helping save his life. Now that, my brothers and sisters, is gratitude. And here's a man that continued on, and he did make his gospel music, but the important part is his heart was grateful to the God who had given him so much. Well, what about us? So here we are at Mass. We lift up our hearts. We give thanks and praise to Almighty God. We receive the Eucharist, which in itself, the word means thanksgiving. Let us take time each day to thank our Lord. I would also encourage you at dinner tonight, tomorrow night being the Lord's Day Sunday, at dinner time, put everything quiet and go around your dinner table and talk about the blessings that God has given to you. Those simple blessings, those bigger blessings, those supernatural blessings. Because after all, St. Paul reminds us, "Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His mercy endures forever." May God bless you.